Listening to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie, episode 32, with retired law enforcement officer and podcaster, Patrick Fitzgibbon.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie, and my special guest today is Patrick Fitzgibbons, and welcome to the show, Patrick.
Hey, Dr. Donnie, thank you for having me on your show, brother. Love it, and I'm raring to go.
All right, and Patrick, he is one that is very familiar with podcasts because he has, I would say, the number one law enforcement podcast out there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, again, I appreciate you having me on, brother. And yeah, I started the show Criminal Justice Evolution about a little over 5 years ago when I was still in law enforcement. And yeah, it's taken off. I got about 415 episodes, and I just have a wide variety of guests on the show, as you know, Dr. Johnny. I mean, just all these different guests that I can weave back into the criminal justice field. I talk about a lot about, you know, officer health and wellness, which is important. But I talk about everything, you know, finances, nutrition, all that stuff can be weaved back into the profession that was so good to me over the years. And I retired after 23 years in law enforcement in 2019, and work on the show, and I teach on the college level, and just having a great time, man.
That's outstanding. Tell us a little bit about your career in law enforcement, if you would.
Yeah, I 23 years in law enforcement, retired in 2019. I split my time between two agencies in Colorado. And yeah, started, you know, as most cops do, they start on the street and work my way up through the ranks. I was a street supervisor. Well, first I was, yeah, street supervisor, then went into detective division for a while. Came out, I was a street supervisor, and then got into the administrative aspect of police work, moved up to the ranks, and like I said, retired as a operations commander in my agency here in Louisville, Colorado, and I was in charge of all patrol operations. So yeah, I had a great career. Ups and downs, as people might, you know, guess in law enforcement, there's highs and lows, but that's any job.
Oh, that's so true. Definitely any job. And so with that career, I also noticed that you have a family. So did you have a family back in that career stage as well?
Yeah, family. And sadly, you know, I was divorced, you know, after 20 years in law enforcement. It's a tough job. I was in a place about halfway in my career where, you know, I was, you know, depressed a lot and, you know, just irritable. And I'm not blaming that on my ex-wife. I was just in kind of in a bad place, and that probably contributed to our divorce. But yeah, I have family. We're a blended family, my wife and I, and I got two kids of my own, 27 and soon to be 27 and 20. And then my wife, we've been together for about 10 years now. She's got three daughters, so five altogether. Mm-hmm. So big family. And luckily we're empty nested, Donnie.
Are you?
So we're empty nested. I love it.
You never know with those ages, 27 and 20 in today's world.
You mean as far as what?
Whether you're an empty nester or not.
No. So the youngest is in the Air Force. So we got four daughters and a son, and he's in the Air Force. So he's gone for 4 years. So he ain't coming back. But I'm just kidding. I love my kids, and they're always welcome home. But it is, you know, it is kind of liberating. And we had kids, you know, when I was younger, and so I'm 52 now, or going to be 52. And yeah, it's just my wife and I are just having a blast, you know, just traveling and doing what we want to do. So at this point in our lives.
Yes. Now, what year did you divorce?
I divorced about 11 years ago.
Okay.
So it was a tough time. And you know, my ex-wife and I have a great relationship, but I take full responsibility for that. But, you know, the job does take a toll on you after a period of time, and it did on me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if you know this about my background or not. I think some of the listeners do, is that mm-hmm. I also divorced about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And remarried, blended family, six kids total.
Oh, wow.
So four of my own, and she had two, or has two, and They were a little older though. So they, when we blended, they weren't, didn't spend a lot of time in the blend. They were sort of out of the house. And then, but my two youngest now, they are, my two youngest daughters are a junior and senior in high school.
Oh, okay. Right
now, so
yeah, it can be tough. You know, our kids were, and as you know, I mean, it can be a tough time, you know, blending families and especially with kids. I mean, but we were lucky, you know. I mean, the one thing that really we were blessed with is my wife and her ex-husband have a good relationship. They never, you know, I have a good relationship with my ex-wife, and we never talked bad about our former spouses with our kids. As a matter of fact, my wife's ex-husband, before he got remarried, he would come over for Thanksgiving dinner and we'd all just sit around and have a good time and Christmas and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I think that was key in, you know, the development of the kids, you know, as far as, you know, having good relationships with exes. I think that was very, very important. That was one of the things that when I got divorced, my ex-wife and I said, look, we're never going to talk bad about each other with the kids. And we never have. And I think that's critical. And I, seeing having a career in law enforcement, Donnie, I saw that throughout my career, where not every set of parents that were getting divorced, but a lot of them would use the kids as pawns, you know, and I'm going to get back at you and all this other stuff. And I just think it's horrible. Yeah. Divorce, as you know, a divorce is horrible enough, but you don't need to drag your kids through the mud to do it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, ours was on the other side of the spectrum. My wife tried, you take small children and you constantly, just target the father and just,
it's constant, a brainwashing.
But you know what ended up happening? All the kids, they decided to stay with me.
Well, you know what's interesting? that was because you were, you know,
big flip.
For
traditional, right? Yeah. And you know what a judge would do in a normal circumstance.
Yeah, so usually they're more inclined to keep them with the mom.
Yeah.
But every situation is different, as you know, and that's good, man. Yeah, I'm sorry you had to go through that, but
out great though. You know, they took it as a growth opportunity, and I think they really did grow from it.
That's awesome.
And now with your, so if you would, I mean, and you know what, I think you could do a podcast just on that, how to have a decent relationship with your ex. I think you could do a series on that because it's needed out there. Cause I think you are really an outlier out there of having you and your wife having good relationships with your,
You know, it's not that we didn't have, you know, spats and disagreements and stuff like that, but overall we had a good relationship because my ex-wife worked in parole, you know, at the time. And so she was part of the criminal justice system. And of course I was a cop. And so we saw a lot of the same stuff, and we knew, you know, how, you know, divorcees or people who are going to get divorced, a lot of them, you know, talk bad about each other and use the kids as pawns. So we swore, we knew we were going to get divorced. We talked about it, but we wanted to do it in a more, you know, amicable way and not target the kids and use them as pawns. And thankfully it just worked out for the best. And then my wife, same thing with her ex-husband. I mean, just he's a great guy, you know, and he's a great parent, and we've just been blessed. You're right. I'm probably an outlier. I know that because I saw it in law enforcement a lot.
Yeah. Well, if you would, I want to share with you my definition and with the listeners of work-life balance. And when I say my definition, it's sort of where my research went with.
Sure.
I've sort of been that lifelong learner. I know you are, and all of that. I finished my furthest degree, the PhD, just a couple years ago and the research study was all about self-care and how it attributed to work-life balance. And what sort of came out of that was that when I work with law enforcement and firefighters and EMT, is that I say, hey, check to see, are your day-to-day behaviors in alignment with your priorities in life?
Yeah.
And I say, hey, if they are, you're probably feeling pretty well balanced. And if they're not, they probably aren't. And there's two things that I've learned that appear to stand the test of time, timeless principles about priorities. One, our health, you know, because if we don't have it, you know, life can come to an end. You know,
of course.
And that's the reality. We see it in law enforcement. We see it with firefighters, you know, frequently. So we know health is one of those pieces. And we talk, you know, and everyone's talking about, or hopefully a lot of people are, more and more people are talking about health and wellness. But the other one are those close family relationships. And, you know, it's like if we don't have that in life, you know, we sort of go through life a little, maybe perhaps a little bit less, with less meaning. So with that, if you would, Patrick, take us back in a time, as you touched on it, you know, especially, you know, when you got a divorce while you're a law enforcement officer. How do you think you got out of balance? Did you know, did you know you were out of balance? And did you know that maybe things weren't quite right? And walk us through that experience you had, if you would.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I mentioned a divorce. It was a tough time, but even leading up to the divorce, Donnie, it was rough. And, you know, I had a great career in law enforcement, but I always tell people, and you know this, you know, law enforcement is an inherently toxic environment. Meaning people don't call cops when everything is great. They call when you know what hits the fan. Yeah. So invariably, that's going to rub off on you. I don't care how tough. Look, I came out of one of the toughest military units in the Army. I was with the 82nd. I was tough as nails when I came out when I was young. Yeah. And I was like, hey, I can handle anything. I saw stuff in the military and I was like, law enforcement. I knew I was going to get into law enforcement. But I don't care how tough you are. I don't care. And I know you know people that are we're badasses who are tough, both on the fire side and law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
But the point in all that is there's only so much human suffering, trauma that you can see as a human being before it takes its toll on you. I was one of those people where I was really, really good at suppressing, pushing it down as far as it could go. Oh, dead kid. No problem. Mm-hmm. Back to work. Eventually that started coming up probably about 10, 11 years into my career, maybe a little bit longer. And eventually I was getting more, you know, I was getting more irritable. I was drinking more when I wasn't working. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, irritable towards my ex-wife, my wife at the time. I was signing up for every overtime shift I could, because I didn't want to be at home and argue, you know, I mean, that was my, you know, I'd spend more time at work. Mm-hmm. And so I was just on that path. Now I knew I was doing it. I mean, I'm pretty self-aware with, you know, my attitude, even at those times, I knew, but I made no changes initially until I just got to a point. It was shortly after my divorce where I was like, okay, my relationships with my kids are rocky. Mm-hmm. You know, what way do I want to go? You know, I mean, it's almost like that proverbial fork in the road. Do you want to go this way or that way? And so I choose to make some changes. One of it was, you hit it, was fitness. Look, if your body is a temple, we all know that. If you're not taking care of your body, your mind's going to suffer, all that stuff. So I started taking care of my body better, quit drinking or cut back significantly on alcohol when I wasn't working. Then I started doing something that I always joked about, you know, with people when they brought up the topic of meditation. And I, you know, I've been listening to podcasts for a long time. Uh-huh. And I remember listening to, I don't know if it was Tony Robbins or somebody, and they was talking about meditation, the importance of meditation. So I started dabbling in that and then I got hooked. So I went from a point in my life where I was at a pretty bad low. I never thought about hurting myself or anything like that, but I was depressed. You know, I was irritable. I was doing a good job at work. At least I thought I did. I always got good reviews and evaluations and stuff like that. Like I said before, I was rising through the ranks, but everything else was suffering around me. So after my divorce, I decided to make a change. And a lot of that was just taking better care of myself physically and mentally. And that was a game changer for me.
Was it hard though to, you know, like you say, you know, you can say it. It's easy to say, I made a change.
Yeah, I made a change. Yeah. But
what was it like making that change?
It was very tough. You know, it's like anything else. Look, you know, if successful people, they're successful because they have habits, they have routines. Yep. And those, you know, it's like anything else, you know, whenever that you get out of your comfort zone, there's going to be some, your mind's going, what the hell, man? I don't like this. I don't like you getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go work out. But once you get into that habit, it becomes second nature, right? I mean, it becomes, because you're feeling the effects, you know, you work out, the endorphins are flowing, you're starting to feel good.
Yeah.
And so that was a catalyst moment for me. And it was tough. It was tough. I wish I could say everything was roses and unicorns and rainbows, but it wasn't. But it took me some time to get into that mode. And I've been in that mode ever since. So what I wanted to do, and again, it's not like I don't have bad days, Donnie.
Right.
I mean, I don't live in a bubble. I tell people that. I have bad days too, but the bad days are significantly less than the good days.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have more good days than bad days. And, but now I understand that if I have a bad day, you know, who controls my bad day? Me.
Right.
The 6 inches between my brain, my mindset.
Yeah.
So when I talk to people and talk to first responders, look, you control how you react to things. What is it? 80% of, you know, is how we react to the 20%.
Right.
You know, so that was a catalyst moment, you know, going through that darkness, going through a divorce, and we were married for 20 years, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Going through that, and nobody gets married, as you know, with a divorce in mind.
Right.
At least I didn't. And it was a very, very tough time. But then I met my new wife, and you know, it's been great. Love my wife, love my blended family. And again, I'm just having a great time. And it's day by day, you know. And like I said before, I have bad days, but I have so many good days.
Yeah.
Bad days. So
real quick before I forget, my son's got out of the military about a year and a half now ago. He was with the 82nd Airborne as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I was with Charlie Company, 2nd of the 505th down at Fort Bragg.
There. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He did 9 months in Afghanistan.
Oh, well, thank you for his service.
Absolutely. And when he was over there, you know, I'd text him or call, you know, once in a while he'd call me and things like that. But all the time he was like, oh, I'm just working out, you know, just,
yeah.
And he did come back much stronger,
oh, yeah,
heavier.
Oh, but yeah.
Later, it took about a year since he's been back for him to open up.
Yeah.
And he says, yep, the older guys there are like, just push it down. Just keep pushing it down.
Yeah. And that's a problem that we have, you know,
yeah,
especially with guys, you know,
yeah,
is in the first responder community, Donnie, you know, this, it's very hard to get that A-type personality.
Yeah.
Most of cops are, in my experience, are just the A-type, you know, personality. They don't want to, and women too.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to show signs of weakness. I don't think it's a sign of weakness to show your emotions. I used to, not anymore.
Right.
I think it's a sign of strength because it's gonna come back up, man. It's like you know, it's like that pot of water on the stove, man. It's just gonna, if you don't tend to it, it's just gonna turn the heat down. It's just gonna what, boil over.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where a lot of people get.
Talk to us about, Patrick, when you worked out, you went to fitness as part of that. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but part of that recovery,
yeah,
process,
yeah,
right? You decided to make a change. You went to fitness. Obviously, you had fitness in your past based, mm-hmm, with the 82nd Airborne. I know you did.
Yeah.
What did you get out of it from a psychological and emotional side from working out? Did anything happened to you from that perspective? Any benefits or?
Oh, absolutely. I mentioned, you know, I mean, you know, the brain chemistry, the endorphins, they get flowing. It just makes you feel good. I mean, I, you know, when I quit drinking a lot, you know, and started working out more, you know, your body is detoxing, you know, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, you're just, I was clearer, you know, about where I wanted to go. You know, I felt better, obviously, physically. I was drinking a hell of a lot more water, more than I ever did before, with the exception of maybe the military.
Yeah.
And I still drink a ton of water. But yeah, psychologically, it's a game changer, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a game changer with working out. And every day I work out now, with the exception of Sunday. That's my kind of like my catch-up day.
Yeah.
I'm usually up by 5 o'clock every morning, hitting the gym by 5:30. I do gratitude. I do journaling. I do my meditation. I do my prayers. And then I'm at the gym.
Outstanding.
You know, 5:30, maybe 5:45 at the latest. And then Sunday is kind of a rest day and a kind of a recovery day if I need to get caught up on sleep. I know some people say that you need all this sleep. I'm a believer. And again, this just works for me. I can get by about 6 hours of sleep a night. I know sleep, yeah, experts say that that's not good for you, but that's been working for me for many years. But psychologically, mm-hmm, you know, it was a game changer for me. Fitness is, and you mentioned before at the beginning, look, if you don't have your health, everything else fails.
Yeah.
Everything else fails. You know, when things, and we take our health for granted, take your body. I know I do.
Yeah.
You know, but once you have an injury, you know, my wife and I were skiing a couple of years ago, or last year, we were up in the mountain, or no, it was last year we were skiing, because I'm in Colorado,
mm-hmm,
and I fell. I was being a dumbass and I was going too fast, thinking I'm 20 something ago, and I fell, and I didn't go to the doctor or anything, but my shoulder was, you know, sore for like 2 or 3 months.
Oh yeah.
And getting back to my point, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you have this one body, you have this one mind, and you need to take care of your body and mind, because once they start suffering or breaking down, everything is going to suffer. And we're not here for very long. I mean, in the big scheme of things, we're not here for very long when you think about it.
No, not at all. Not at all. Hey, two other things that I want to share with you that in my study that I did, and it's part of my work that I do, is that two other self-care needs. You know, we have the physical, we have the mental that we just talked about. Another one would be the social need and spiritual needs, you know, spiritual wellness. The social piece, let me ask you, did you have friends outside of law enforcement?
No. No. And I talk about this a lot, Donnie, and I'm glad you brought this up. I tell when I go, because I teach a lot and talk to a lot of young cops, you know, especially new recruits. And they always ask me, you know, what's the key to a successful career? And I said, well, there's a lot of different things. But one thing I will tell you right now that I believe is critical, just my opinion, is get friends outside of law enforcement. No, I'm just dead. And this is just my opinion. I'm not saying, and that's not a ding. If you're in law enforcement right now and you're listening as a first responder, look, it's not a ding. It's just, I think it's healthy to get a different perspective outside of law enforcement. Let me give you an example. So when I got married the second time, my wife and I have been together for a while. And so I was off a divorce. We started dating about a year after I was divorced. And my wife was like, always asking me, why don't you come out and meet some of my friends? I was like, what? No, man. You know, I'm sorry. Are they cops or are they first responders? No. Oh, I'm out. But then she worked on me and worked on me and worked on me.
Yeah.
And then I started meeting some of her friends. And then I was like, wait a minute. These people are actually good people. I became friends with her friends, and the rest is history. My point is that I think we get conditioned, and again, this is not a ding in law enforcement, but I think we get conditioned, at least I did as a young police officer. Look, there's us and then there's them.
Yeah.
Okay. We're us and then they're them. So if they don't have a badge or a star or whatever, you really can't trust them. I don't think that's a healthy mindset to develop as a young officer. And that's not a ding. I'm just saying, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think law enforcement, especially if there's cops listening or first responders, they need to get friends outside of the field. I think it keeps you balanced.
Yeah.
I think it's well balanced, because it cracks me up. So the same, you know, when I started my show, when I was still on the job, you know, first of all, my friends were like, you'll be back. I was like, no, I won't. And then they were like, you know, they were kind of giving me a hard time because I had so many friends outside of law enforcement. And I would ask him, I remember a buddy of mine in particular, I said, well, Mike, what do you want to do when you get out of law enforcement? He said, oh, I want to start my own business and stuff like that. I said, do you realize the them that you're criticizing, the them outside of law enforcement are probably the same people that are going to probably help you with your business?
Yeah.
So it's really, again, I just encourage people. I'm not saying abandon your law enforcement family or first responder family, but get friends outside of law enforcement. Oh, it's so critical. It's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And how about from, before I ask you about the spiritual, let me ask a question a little bit different. Maybe we'll touch on it. Is that if you think about the guiding principles of life, how did you grow up and what have been your guiding principles?
You know, I grew up in a strict military family. My dad was in the Army. He later got into the Air Force back when it was more common. He was a JAG officer. He was a lawyer in the Army and in the Air Force. And I grew up in that tough military environment. Yeah. But my dad believed in honor, you know, dedication, loyalty, teamwork, all those core principles, dedication, love for country, love for family, all those things. So I grew up with the same principles, you know, as I grew older, which is one of the reasons I went into the military, you know, but I grew up with, you know, being dedicated, being honorable, you know, loyal, honest, all those things, teamwork. So those were the guiding, and of course, family. And I'm not saying that that's the last. I mean, family should be first. But I grew up with all those principles, and they still guide me today. I think, you know, at a point in my life right now, the most important, you hit on it, one of the most important, if not the most important, is family, relationships.
Yeah.
You know, you got to cultivate those relationships. Nobody goes to the graveyard with a U-Haul behind them. they go to the graveyard with memories of love and relationships that they cultivated over the year. I think there's a book out there, and maybe you know, Donnie, there's a good book out there. I haven't read, but it was basically this nurse. It was about deathbed confessions. And she wrote a book. Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name of the book, but she went and she interviewed all these people that were dying, you know, these elderly people. And what was the thing that they said the most? Regret.
Yeah.
They never said, I should have spent more time at the office.
Exactly.
Should have made more. I should have got that Rolex. I should have. No, it was all regret that they didn't, you know, cultivate those relationships and things like that. So, I mean, I grew up with amazing principles, but sometimes we all falter, you know, we all compromise principles and we make mistakes. We're human, but the point is to get back on that horse, keep going.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I stress in my workshops, Patrick, is that when I talk about transforming and getting to a desired future, as I say, that we all made mistakes. We all have regret. You know, a couple things we need for that regret. One, we need to learn how to forgive ourselves. Yeah. Not everyone really understands self-forgiveness. And I know I didn't until I remarried and she taught it to me. But the other piece, you know, of that is, well, the self-forgiveness is, it's truly critical to how do we get to that desired future. And then the other piece is that, having an understanding of, hey, let's try to live with no new regrets, you know, is I think critically important. And I think I was listening to one of your podcasts. You're talking about trouble, or I think the guys were talking about, I think it was Dan and Alan?
Dan Oblinger and Alan Tsang. Yeah.
I think it was a piece when we were talking about negotiating and things like that. But then they went into talking about how people will, you know, go back and really study and sort of analyze, you know, where they screwed up and all the wrongdoings and, you know, different things like that. And then I was like, you know, I wanted to ask you a question on this. Do you ever dissect your successes?
I do, because I think because I always want to know, okay, what got me to that point, you know, to be successful, like with the show, okay, this worked, I'm going to keep doing this or maybe tweak it to make it even better. So I do, I do look at my success. I don't dwell on it, but I do look at it and see what worked. I don't go backwards, Donnie. I don't go backwards. I think that's a problem with a lot of people. So many people get defined by the failures of their past, and that pushes them into the future. Look, the past is the past. You know, we all make mistakes. We all have failures. But so many people that I talk to, and you probably do, they think, well, I screwed up or I got divorced or I had a financial whatever. Mm-hmm. And they get defined by that.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of life. And I've been there. You know, I've had those huge setbacks in my life. The only thing you could do is keep going forward. Hopefully don't make the same mistakes. But it does no good to live in the past. Look, there's a reason why the front windshield on a car is bigger than the rear, because you're going forward. The past is in the past. Leave it there. But so many people I talk to, they just get defined by their past. You are not that person anymore. I mean, every day is a new day. It's your chance to write a new story. And I think a lot of people just get trapped in the past. And a lot of that too, Donnie, is, and I talk about this a lot, is who they associate with. I think Jim Rohn has famously said, you're the average of the five you associate with. And I truly believe that. So who is your tribe? Who are the people that you're surrounding yourself with? They're going to determine where you go. I like to be around people that are lifting me up and pumping me up and giving it to me straight and telling me when I screw up and so I can course correct. I don't want to be around a bunch of yes people that are just nodding their head saying, oh, yeah.
Right.
I don't want to be the smartest guy in the room. I want to surround myself with people who are smarter than me, because that's what's going to help me. So who is your tribe? I always tell people that. Who are your five? And sometimes you got to weed your garden. You know, you got to weed your garden. You get rid of people in your life that are not helping you. Not in a narcissistic kind of way. Don't get me wrong. But you should be very, very selfish about who's in your inner circle.
Yeah. Excellent advice. Speaking of advice, what advice would you give young law enforcement officers or generally, you know, for my show is all about all first responders, though. If you want to speak specifically to law enforcement, I completely understand that. But young people in their career, Do you have any advice for them out there?
Yeah, I would say, you know, for the people who are getting into, and I'll speak to all of first responder community because they're all critically important. You know, you really, really, really have to have a passion for it, especially today. So, you know what you're getting into. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to law enforcement. And I, when I was in charge of recruiting in my department, how many people would come and they would just, you know, base their decision off a movie or television shows and stuff like that. I mean, it's surprising. Go and do your research, go on ride alongs, go ride with the fire service. If you can, if you're into being a paramedic, pick their brains, you know, pros and cons about the job, just get as much research as you can and then go for it. I mean, I encourage people to get into the first responder family and the career, because it's a very rewarding career. Yes. Especially when it comes to law enforcement, it's a tough time. It's always going to be a tough time.
Yeah.
But thank God that brave young men and women are still getting into not only law enforcement, but the fire service, ambulance, you know, 911 operators or first responders, at least here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thankful that they're still getting into it. And then, you know, another piece of advice is seek out the people that are going to help you grow. I know in law enforcement, it's like any, you know, first responder community, you're going to have the people that are just bitter and cynical. Mm-hmm. Stay away from those people. You know, right. Get yourself aligned with the people that are jazzed to be there, because especially as a young, a young person, a young officer, a young, you know, person in the fire department, those mentors and the people that, you know, that you're around are going to be so influential on your life.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's great advice. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when I was reading up on you a little bit, I think you had something on there. You use the word intentional. It's about living life. Now I call it intentional living, but I think you had a different word in there, but I think our meanings were similar. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Intention. I can't remember what you're,
it might've been on your website on some, but being intentional,
well, intentionally,
the type of life you want out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
you want to go after.
Yeah, that's, you know, so many people, I think, Donnie, are so wrapped up in what other people are going to think about them and what they're going to say. And they're really doing themselves a disservice. Who cares what people, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you know, and stuff like that. But go after your dreams, man. Be intentional. It goes back to what I was talking, you know, saying, but we all know this. You know, we're not here for very long. I don't know if you know who Gary Vaynerchuk is.
I do.
Gary Vaynerchuk is a huge influencer. He's an author, but he has a show called The Gary V Show. I'm just plugging Gary V because I think he's great, but he's very popular. And I remember watching a show from him. It was one of his keynote speeches, Donnie. He gets up in front of this massive crowd and he comes out, and you can YouTube this video too. It's pretty powerful. He comes out and he says 400 trillion to one. People are like looking around going, what the hell is this guy talking about? 400 trillion to one. That's your odds of being born human. Statistically, that's the math behind it. Think about that. Not billion, but trillion. 400 trillion to one. The purpose in that is you got to live your life.
Yeah.
You got to be intentional with your life.
Yeah.
Set out goals. Set out a plan. Don't be like that feather in Forrest Gump where you're just kind of floating around waiting to go to the next location. Be intentional with your life. You have the power. And don't worry about what people are going to say. Who cares? So many people get wrapped up in fear. Oh, we can't do that. They might laugh at me. Who cares? The same people that were laughing at me when I left law enforcement, tell me I'd be back, laughing at me when I started a podcast, or some of the same people want to get on my show now. And that's not me being narcissistic, you know, hubris, right, or anything like that. It's just, you know, you got to go after your dreams. You have to go after what you want in life. And don't Absolutely. Get wrapped around the axle with what people are going to think, because you're always going to have your haters. You're always going to have the people mm-hmm. that are being critical of you. And if you have people that are, you're probably doing something right. If they're being critical, you know, I guess it depends on how you look at it.
That's true.
Be intentional with your life, man. I mean, you know, map out, you know, write down goals. You know, I journal all the time. You know, this is where I want to be. Yeah, I don't want to be the same person a year from now that I am today, Donnie. I want to be better. I want to be a better version. So that's intention. So just be intentional with your life. You can do it.
I know what you mean by journaling. I journal and I picked up the Tony Robbins thing of 3 minutes of gratitude in the morning, 3 minutes of prayer, and 3 most important things I want to do
every day.
Every day. Yeah. And let me take you back to that other self-care need of spirituality, mm-hmm. or, you know, that can come in the form of whether it's prayer, religion, meditation, mm-hmm. walking in nature, anything like that. How do you meet your spiritual needs?
Oh, I grew up Catholic. Still am Catholic, even though I don't go to church anymore. I don't think you have to go, in my opinion, I don't have to go to church to pray. But I pray every morning. And I say my rosary because I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
But I carve out at least 10, 15 minutes a day to pray. And those are a variety of prayers that I have that I, you know, had growing up and I still have to this day. Yes. So I do dedicate a chunk of my time to prayer. And then I meditate on top of that. Mm-hmm. And again, like you said, people have different types of spirituality that they engage in. Mine is prayer, just because that's what I grew up with. So I do that for about 10 to 15 minutes, then get into my meditation and then, you know, go from there. Yeah. But yeah, I think spirituality is very important. It's a foundation in my life. You know, again, I probably, you know, my mom's probably, you know, looking down from heaven saying you need to get your butt to church because you haven't been to church in a while. But I don't believe that you need to go to church to pray, you know, so right. I'm very into prayer and spirituality. That's a big part of my life.
Well, we have much in common. I'm Catholic. I grew up Catholic and we're both divorced. So, you know, first time.
Now, Catholics, you know, Donnie, they didn't get divorced, man. That's like a no-no. That's a no-no.
That's why I hung on for 18 years. Because you just don't do that.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Now, with that, you know how we talked about with the exercise and how that spilled over into your mental state in a mm-hmm. positive way. Do you have any spillover or any ramifications after you pray that you notice in your life?
Yeah, I feel better. You know, I mean, I always feel better when I pray. I feel better when I work out, but when I spend that time between God and I, you know, praying, I always feel better. You know, I feel calm. I feel at peace. And again, that's just me. Mm-hmm. But what I do is it's just not some rote routine when I pray, I'm actually in what I'm doing. And I think that has been a game changer for me, where before when I was younger, I'd just say a prayer and okay.
Can you go a little deeper on that? When you say you're into what you're doing.
Well, I think so many times, and I've been guilty of it, is okay, I got to get my prayers in. I'm just going to say them and that'll be it. Whereas instead of really taking and really, really feeling the words and really getting into the words and diving deeper into the words and concentrating on praying, that's all the difference in the world. To me, that's what makes me feel better, because I think we all get into this routine where, oh, it's time to journal. I'll just throw some shit down. And, but when you're really believing it and you're really feeling it, feeling the moment, I think that's what makes the difference. And I've learned to do that better and better the older I get. So that's what I mean by rote routine. You really have to feel, you know, it's like law of attraction, Donnie. You know, I mean, people, you know, what you put out, you're going to get, you know, back. But everybody, you know, wants to have a better life. But do you feel it? Do you really, really believe it? Because one, nothing's just going to fall on your lap. Mm-hmm. I mean, there has to be certain things, but one of that is feeling it. It's one thing to want, but you got to feel it too.
Yeah.
So that has been the game changer in my life.
That's outstanding. Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Patrick, getting close to the closing of the show here, the podcast, but is there anything that I did not ask you that you wished I would have or would like to spend a little bit more time on?
Well, I have a little shameless plug here. I have a book.
There we go.
Evolve. And it's a little micro book that the listeners or the viewers can go to my website, cjevolution.com. You can get a free ebook version of Evolve. Or if you want, you can reach out to me on my site, cjevolution.com, through social, and I'll send you an autographed copy. And this book it's an acronym, Evolve. And I wrote this after I retired. That was one of my bucket lists mm-hmm. when I retired in 2019. And it's not very long. It's about 70 pages because we know first responders can't read. But it's yeah, we know you can read. But it's a very, you know, I wanted to make it a really compact book so, you know, people could throw in their pocket. And Evolve is an acronym. So, you know, E is elevate your thinking. We've been talking about that. You know, elevate, you know, your mindset. It all comes with, you know, everything revolves around mindset. V is visualization. You got to be able to visualize what you want. Visualization is key. Mm-hmm. If you look at any success, let's take the Olympics, Donnie. What does an Olympian say when they're up on the podium, or most of them? I visualize this moment. I saw it in my mind. So visualization is really important. Mm-hmm. Others, I mentioned it. Who are you hanging out with? Others is for O. They're going to determine where you're going in life. L is love yourself. Look, if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love anybody else? You know, it's like that. We've all heard, you know, the mask falls on the airplane. Who are you going to put it on? You got to take care of yourself first.
Yes.
V is celebrate those victories every day in your life. You have all kinds of victories that you need to celebrate. You woke up, right? You're still here. God has given you, whoever you believe in, giving you another day. And E is every day be your best. And that's an acronym, and there's more in the book. But if you want it, reach out to me. I'll get you a copy.
That's outstanding. Love it. Yeah. Well, one of the pieces that I do to close out a show is I offer my guest, if you would like to say a prayer or blessing for all first responders out there that are listening to the program.
Yes, yes. Let me see if I can. Dear Lord, thank you for guiding and directing our brave men and women who serve in the first responder community. Please let them be safe as they perform their duties on a daily basis, and let them come home to their family and loved ones every day. Amen.
Amen. Patrick Fitzgibbons, I absolutely appreciate you being on the show. And one
thank
more
you,
time, let others know where that website is, if you would, again.
Well, Donnie, it's been an absolute honor to be on your show, brother. Keep up the fantastic work and the fantastic work. I got to have you on my show, brother, so keep an eye out for a link coming your way. And if anybody wants to reach out to me, they can find all my stuff on cjevolution.com.
cjevolution.com. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. Take care.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.